There is must be a trip on the list that you have. Maybe it's been there for years, a place you keep circling back to, keep almost booking, keep talking yourself out of for reasons that sound completely reasonable on paper. I'm too busy, not the right time, the kids, the job, next year. But what if you told yourself that the trip you keep postponing is not just a vacation you haven't gotten around to? What if it's your body actually trying to tell you something? Something that strategy and willpower and really organized calendars simply cannot solve. This is what we're talking about today.
Welcome to the Kathy Covington Podcast, where science meets soul and strength finds meaning. I'm Kathy, and I created this podcast as a space for women who want more than just a workout. This is a place for total body health, from cellular science to spiritual alignment, from functional nutrition to emotional resilience. Here, we blend real research with real stories, honest conversations about healing, growth, and the messy, beautiful process of becoming fully embodied. You'll hear from experts, practitioners, and women just like you, each with a piece of the puzzle to help you live a stronger, clearer, happier, healthier, and more connected life. So if you're ready to go beyond the surface and into the deep, deep, nourishing work of becoming whole, you're in the right place.
Welcome to Embodied. I'm Kathy Covington, and there is must be a trip on the list that you have. Maybe it's been there for years, a place you keep circling back to, keep almost booking, keep talking yourself out of for reasons that sound completely reasonable on paper. I'm too busy, not the right time, the kids, the job, next year. But what if you told yourself that the trip you keep postponing is not just a vacation you haven't gotten around to? What if it's your body actually trying to tell you something? Something that strategy and willpower and really organized calendars simply cannot solve. This is what we're talking about today. Not travel hacks, not an itinerary, the deeper thing underneath the itch to go and what it means when a woman feels that pull towards somewhere new and keeps finding a reason to stay put. And today's conversation, I have been really looking forward to this one. My guest is Natasha Ibrahim, and I want you to stay with me for a moment as I tell you who she is, because her story is not what you might expect. Natasha was born in Atlanta, moved to India at 2 months old, then Australia, then Canada. She didn't land in the US until she was actually 15 years old. She grew up between worlds, between cultures, between versions of herself. And instead of just making her unmoored, it made her more free. And by her mid-20s, she has been to over 55 countries. She's built a community called Girl Boss Abroad. And it's a space for women who want to live on their own terms, travel internationally, and take care of themselves while doing it all. She is a storyteller, a creative strategist, and one of the most grounded voices I have come across on what it actually means to design a life from the inside out. She weaves breathwork and sound baths and self-care rituals from cultures all over the world into the way she lives and moves. And through the line of everything she does is how you show up in the world starts with how you take care of yourself when no one is watching. Today, we're talking about wanderlust and what it really is, where it lives in the body, and why the trip you keep putting off might be actually the one of the most important things you could say yes to this summer. If this is something you've been quietly pulling toward, a different version of your life, this conversation is for you. So welcome, Natasha.
Thank you, Kathy. What an amazing intro. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you. Okay, so let's start with you moved around a lot when you were little, and this is summertime coming up now. So we're getting ready for our summer travels. What did summers feel like for you as a kid who was always going somewhere new?
Hmm. You know, summers were interesting because I grew up in Australia and my mom is from America. So when I was living in Australia growing up, my mom would always tell me, America is home. Australia isn't home. So whenever summer would come around and we would, not every year, but most years, come to the US to visit her family and my family here, it felt like I was going home in a way, even though Australia was the only home that I knew. So it was kind of interesting because I felt like I had multiple homes since I was born. I didn't really feel like I had one place that I was leaving to go on vacation. But then as I got older and I started solo traveling and I really started using summers to travel for myself, I saw it as kind of an opportunity to build the life that I really wanted to live. So during the year, I would work all year, save my money, and then go on these trips, Egypt or Dubai or Paraguay. And I volunteered abroad. I just went because I had an opportunity to go to that country. And I was like, this is how I want to live. Like, I feel more alive. I feel like this is the truest version of myself. And so as I kind of got the taste of it, I was able to kind of play chess and see, like, how can I actually make my life revolve around travel? And then once I graduated college, I was able to do that.
So when did you first travel alone in the summer? And
what it was?
How did it feel?
Yeah, I was 16. I went to Paraguay to volunteer for 2 months with an organization called Amigos de las Americas. And it's basically like Peace Corps for high school students. I always wanted to volunteer abroad. We were just talking about Uganda because you're going there soon and my mom's from Uganda. So I always wanted to volunteer in Africa, actually, from a very, very young age. But that opportunity passed and then this one came up to go to South America. And the feeling I had of going on that trip shaped the rest of my life because I felt so independent. I felt I was choosing something for myself for the first time and I was able to actually make decisions. And this was like a life that I was building, not that I was kind of forced into. My childhood was kind of chaotic and like there were a lot of, you know, not so great things about it. So I felt out of control. And this kind of gave me a sense of control in a way, but also a sense of surrender because I've never been to this country. I was living with a family that didn't speak a word of English. They only spoke Spanish and the native language Guarani. So I had to learn to communicate with them and really lead project in this village at 16. So it was challenging, but also the love that they gave me was so unlike anything I've ever experienced. And it really did create this sense of identity in me that I carried with me. And I ended up getting a degree in Latin American studies because of this experience. And I ended up traveling to all these other countries because of it. So it kind of paved the rest of my life, even though it was a couple years.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Have you ever, now that you're getting older or still young, but getting older, have you ever been on a summer trip, but your mind was still stuck back home? You couldn't get, like, you know, your mind just gets stuck and you want to be more present. Has that happened to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been times where, I mean, whether it's work or like I'm in a relationship or something and my mind is kind of like, oh, but I'm living in two places at once, which happens all the time, especially if you're working corporate or you have like a demanding job and you're just kind of trying to detach and escape. Sometimes it's really difficult to do that. And for me, when that happens, which isn't too often, but it has happened to me before, I just remind myself that everything is going to be there when I get back. And this moment won't, because like whether it's a couple weeks of traveling, that can be such a pivotal experience that can change the trajectory of your life. So if you aren't fully present in it, or if I'm not fully present right here with the people that I'm meeting, with everything going on, then I could miss really important messages, downloads, opportunities that could actually change the trajectory of my life. And then over time, like as I've traveled more and more, I've noticed this pattern of, you know, like a lot of times we're thinking, oh, we need to keep our head down and work for us to make progress, when actually the biggest and best opportunities I got in life and the best people I've met were just from being present while I was traveling. Like even our connection, we got connected because I was traveling in Greece and I happened to meet your son, Hunter, and then it all kind of spiraled into this. So it's like, if I wasn't fully present on that trip, would I have had this opportunity come up? So those patterns like keep repeating.
I love that. It's so true, because I just find in my own life, sometimes it's so hard to pull away. Mm-hmm. And you said a couple of valuable things, what you just, you know, talked about. One of them is not only it's being hard to pull away, but it's just the idea of like being really present while you're on your trip and not letting your mind go back into the past or go into the future, but just really being present in where you are. Mm-hmm. And that is difficult. Any other tips for staying present during your trips?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm really in my head and I try to ground every morning before I go into the day, just because travel can be uprooting and sometimes overstimulating, and maybe your nervous system gets thrown off. So I think if you give yourself a moment to, you know, either whatever your morning routine is, it can be super simple when you're traveling, whether it's meditating for a little bit or even like drinking some tea and coffee and setting your intention or journaling, whatever it is, morning movement, that can really help you be present throughout the day and like setting an intention for the day, whether it's to meet someone new or just fully be there. That can actually keep you in that energy and that frequency. Because sometimes if you're just stumbling into the day and you're like going about your trip and you're busy and you maybe booked a busy itinerary, you don't have that like memory to, oh yeah, wait, I'm here. Like, I shouldn't be on my phone. I should be like really absorbing everything around me.
I love it. I love the idea, or what you're saying about setting that intention in the morning. I do that. And I find that if I do intention setting in the morning, just every day, I get so much more done. And I keep thinking back to the intention that I set. And it just really helps me throughout the day. So I am going to take that with me to Uganda.
Yes.
Especially with the Ebola breakout. I'll try to keep very present.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so what do you wish you had known? Because we're speaking also to women that are traveling alone, possibly this mm-hmm. summer, reaching mm-hmm. out and taking a trip that they need to take, that they've always yes. wanted to take, and they're just going to go out and do it now. What do you wish you had known before you took your very first real summer trip alone?
Ooh, I just got chills. I feel like with taking your first solo trip over the summer is just such a main character moment. You need to really just be the best version of yourself on that trip. Don't overthink things. Go with the flow. Just your energy is the most important thing. It's not about all the things that you're going to do and hitting this, that, whatever. It's like feeling your best and giving yourself what you need in that moment, whether that is to do a spa day or rest or just go lay at the beach, or whether that's to go on a huge hike that's challenging. Whatever you need, you should be filling your cup up. And it's a lot about self-care for me. I think solo travel, especially like on your own during the summer, it can be kind of intimidating because a lot of people are on group trips, or maybe you haven't been in this situation before. So you really need to just, like we were talking about, be present and know that you're going to meet the right people along the way. And also solo travel, I always say it's not solo. Every time I go on a solo trip, I spend time alone, yes, but I always end up meeting people, making friends, finding people who are in alignment with me, because maybe they're also solo traveling to the same place. So they kind of have the same mindset, and just being really open to going with the flow. Yes, have tentative plans, have anchors in your day of things you want to do, but go with the flow. If you find something random and you want to wander, just go wander. Don't be so rigid with your routine. And also just don't overthink it. Memories and things that you're going through and whatever, they will fade. So don't worry about how you're dressing too much or what people are thinking of you, or if they're looking at you eating alone at a restaurant. No one really cares. And if you're just confident in yourself and like what you're doing, people are going to admire that, and you can probably inspire a lot of people as well.
Ooh, I love that. That's great advice. Okay, so you have been to 55 countries. What does it feel like in your body when you are truly resting and exploring compared to when you only get a short vacation and spend it just trying to recover?
Yes. Well, actually, as of last week, I'm at 56 countries now. So hopefully I'll be at 60.
Crazy.
Yeah, I'm just in disbelief. And this question's so great because I feel like the last trip to Nicaragua that I was just on, I was there for a week, and that I really felt this because I'm planning to host a group trip there. So I went by myself to kind of scope it out. I gave myself a week because I went with zero plan, zero knowledge of how I was going to find the right people, vendors, etc. So I managed to all fall into place within a few days. So then I had 4 days on the back end where I didn't really have to go out boots on the ground doing work. So I had this opportunity to really just relax and live in Nicaragua in this sleepy beach town where there's not much going on. And I had to slow down. And I'm not going to lie, like the first day when I was like, okay, like I did everything I needed to do here already. And now I have 4 more days. I got anxiety because I was like, should I leave? Should I go find work to do? And then I kind of reminded myself, I was like, Natasha,
stay present.
Yeah, stay present, rest, be fully here, take advantage of just like the views, just soaking it all in. And it's not an easy thing to do, especially like a lot of, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you're high performing, you have your card on yourself, you have high expectations for yourself. So slowing down is something that's not natural to women who are kind of working hard and living this way. You have to really intentionally do it. And also it takes work. But when you do and you let your nervous system calm down, it actually is like a slingshot and it catapults you forward and you're able to show up in your next task or your next project so much better, so much more vibrant. And it's definitely like a privilege sometimes to be able to slow down like that in a different country. But I highly recommend if you're able to travel and take a few extra days so that way you can slow travel, do it, because it really does show up later on in your work, in your life.
So you mentioned slow travel. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So the way I travel is digital nomading, and I love to slow travel where I move somewhere for a month and I get a base and I build my routine there. I find like my favorite yoga or Pilates studio or a gym. I go to the grocery store. I cook at home. I'm buying local ingredients and tasting like what they eat. I'm meeting locals and kind of just building a routine, because I always say I'm a traveler. I'm not a tourist. Sometimes I am a tourist, like depending on what kind of trip I'm on, but I prefer to be a traveler because when you can integrate yourself into a new country, you can also learn about their culture and their way of life. And one thing I love to do is to take something I learn from every country I go to and use it in my life. Like in Spain, they are really big with siestas. So I like brought that into my life later on. And like some countries, like they're very big with order and structure. And like there's certain parts of that that I've like introduced into my life to make it better. Cause I think every culture has something you can take and really that can benefit you in the way that you live. And so that's kind of my idea. And also, I think it really makes you empathetic and understanding of other people and how they live their lives and how you live your life and how not one way is better. Every way has its pros and cons. And if you can become like a melting pot of all of these like beautiful ways and lifestyles, you can really hack the system and like hack your life in a way, because you can, you know, build something without the setbacks of like being all in one culture.
I love that. It's like so spot on. Okay, so let me ask you another question. How did travel teach you that taking care of yourself and living freely can actually go hand in hand?
Oh my gosh. I think travel is just a reflection of yourself. I'm always saying like travel is a journey around the world back to yourself, because every experience you have, every person you meet is a mirror to you. Like you are seeing yourself through them. And especially when you first start traveling, maybe you can get defensive if you meet people or you experience cultures that are very different from your own. You're like, why do they do it that way? Or I don't like how they talk to me or whatever. But as you keep traveling, you just observe. You just start to fully observe and then empathize with like, okay, that's how this culture is. Maybe you're in the Middle East and you're not used to like why women are covered up and things. But then when you spend more time there, you realize, oh, actually, like this can be empowering to women in some ways because they're able to choose this. Or, you know, if you're in Latin America and then Brazil, for example, and, you know, everyone's super out there and like affectionate and like sharing energy and everything, maybe that can be off-putting if you come from a more conservative background, but then you understand how maybe that empowers them because they're able to express themselves freely. So I think as you kind of go around the world and you see different ways of life, and then you also find that part of you too, like where maybe you do want to be more modest or you want to express yourself more and you haven't felt safe to, you can start pulling those parts of yourself outward and expressing yourself in those ways. And I think that also comes back to like self-love and self-care and really loving each part of yourself and not having shame around those parts of yourselves. Because I think sometimes subconsciously we carry shame or guilt, or like we want to try something new, but we're scared because people will judge us. But then as you travel, especially solo travel, you break out of your shell and you don't feel this fear as much to try new things, like trying a new dance class or being bad at something and just putting yourself out there, because that's how you get better. And then as you get better, that's how your confidence grows and you become just like more open, more confident, and more self-assured, and then also more able to take care of yourself and do self-care because you're honoring yourself. I hope that came together and made sense, but
it makes a lot of sense, and there's so much truth in what you're saying. What are, based on like all of your travels, and you mentioned you've seen a lot of different cultural wellness rituals or way people they mm-hmm. take care of themselves in different countries, and you can be open to that. Is there any, is there a summer wellness ritual that you could share that like more women knew about, something that's kind of like your little hack and that you could share with our listeners?
I mean, all over, like I have this series about beauty treatments all over the world. And for me, whenever I'm traveling, especially in the Middle East or like that region, I love getting hammams or like Turkish baths, Moroccan baths, all of that, because you like come out more radiant and clean and glowing than like anything mm-hmm. I've ever experienced. So I would say if you're traveling in, a lot of places in Europe have it too, but if you're traveling in any of those regions, Turkey, even Dubai or Greece, find a Turkish bath, because it's just the best thing to like feel completely rejuvenated when you're traveling.
I wish I could find a Turkish bath in Uganda.
I don't know about maybe they have something different there.
So you also do, I've read that you do breath work and sound baths while you travel. Mm-hmm. What does that do for you that regular exercise or rest does not?
Yeah. So I don't lead classes, but I love attending classes for breath work and sound baths, because they work on such a subtle level. Energy and breath and frequencies with sound and everything, they're so subtle, but they're so powerful to break up stored energy or, you know, tension in the body and the mind. And I think when we're traveling, subconsciously, we can become tense because we're on planes, we're having to be in a new place or country that's unfamiliar, we're having to be on guard and on edge, even if we are working hard to relax. But I think with breath work, you're able to really put your body into parasympathetic, same with sound baths, and break through that energy. Because working out, I work out every day, and especially when I'm traveling too, and I think it's amazing, but sometimes it does activate your sympathetic nervous system more. So I think to really get your nervous system to relax and calm down, breath work can be so powerful. And especially if you're traveling to a spiritual place, like somewhere in Mexico or somewhere like on an island, and they have these rituals that are offered authentically, and maybe like even the indigenous people have their own rituals, I love finding them and experiencing them through the locals, because I feel like you can just get so much more out of it and also learn about the culture at the same time.
I love it. And what do you think, like, what is one thing every woman needs to know before she takes her first solo summer trip, since you've done it so many times?
Yeah, I think just remembering that people are good and repeating that in your head, it's almost like setting an intention, because the times when bad things have happened to me, which hasn't been too often, thankfully, are when I was, you know, on edge and assuming that something bad was going to happen. So I think you can really manifest the kind of trip you have and experience you have with your thoughts. So just remembering, like, I'm going to have a great trip. Everyone around me is great. But of course, using discernment and like being aware of your surroundings and everything, especially as a woman, you need to be smart about it. But really assuming the best in people and not being afraid to talk to strangers and make friends, and especially other women traveling, and kind of like not completely secluding yourself, because it is easy when you're traveling and you're solo and you're a bit nervous to kind of spend too much time on your own. But if you're feeling like, oh, I want to like actually make friends and be a bit more extroverted, don't be afraid to just spark up conversations, because a lot of times other people are hoping to meet other people, but they're nervous too. So it's good to be the first person to do that.
I love that. Just being open, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Staying open instead of like closing in when you're in a new situation or a new environment.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you a question on like your gut feeling, because we go a lot on gut and we're told to pay attention, right, mm-hmm. to our gut and our intuition. How do you know in your gut when a trip or a big life decision is just right, even when the timing maybe feels hard?
I think I feel my nervous system relax. And I just feel like this lightness in my gut, in my body, and just alignment. Whenever, because there have been so many times in my life where I'm like, this doesn't feel right, but I can't pinpoint it. And then I keep going, and then it leads to burnout, or it leads to me feeling really lost or like losing myself. So now I kind of made this promise to myself that I will really pay attention to my intuition and my gut feelings, and just really let that be my guide. And if you aren't used to doing that, it can be really difficult to start getting back in touch with that feeling because you've ignored it for so long. So I think really paying attention to the subtleness of it and sitting with yourself and really taking time to make the decision of, is this a yes or a no? Like if you're not sure and it feels kind of hazy, take a few minutes, take a day even, to see how you feel in your body with it, and then move forward from there.
And what is a summer experience you still have not had yet? Something that you're still working up the courage to do?
Oh my gosh. I feel like this year, I mean, I've traveled to Europe a lot. I've gone to a lot of the countries that it's like, this is a summer destination. But I want to do more countries that are, you know, not as travel to, which is kind of why I went to Nicaragua. I would love to do, I'm going to Kazakhstan this summer for a wedding. And so just visiting more countries in that region, Eastern Europe, would be really cool. Just kind of like more off the beaten path.
And that's like getting your courage going just to do those. Is it because it's new and a different culture or something you haven't?
Exactly. Like, I don't know much about the region. It would really be like a learning experience. It's not going to be like one of those partying trips where you're just like going and you're like by the beach and doing all of that. It would be more of like a cultural experience, getting out of my comfort zone. So I think it would be really big on growth and just like opening and expansion.
Love it. And if every woman listening booked one thing just for herself this summer, what would you want it to be?
I would want it to be their dream destination from being a child that they have always kept putting off, because I think children know themselves the most, because they don't have all of this extra information that's loaded into us as we grow up. And so wherever you're drawn to, the place that you were drawn to as a child, there's probably a reason for it, whether it's the energy of that city that aligns with who you naturally are. So go to that place and feed your inner child in that place. What would your inner child wanted to have done? How would she have wanted you to dress? How, like, I just imagine, like, maybe a little girl wanting to go to Paris and wearing beautiful dresses and eating pastries and going to the Eiffel Tower and just things like that, that maybe we forget about. But I think they actually serve a big purpose for something else.
So maybe I should be dressing like Jane Fosse or yes. on my gorilla trekking trip. Or,
absolutely.
Right? Like you're saying, getting in touch with your inner child before you go. That's really good advice too. I love that.
Yeah. The world's a playground. And I think when you're able to travel and just like be on your own and choose like the destination and how you actually like go about the trip and what you wear, it's like you're honoring yourself, you're honoring your inner child, like you're getting to play in a different place that's so unfamiliar. It's almost like a playground.
I love that because it's so true. And I think of, as you know, as a child growing up loving Jane Goodall, and
yeah, I love her.
Like, how fun, right? Just to like immerse yourself in that and nurture that little girl inside of you or inside of me. And exactly. Get to travel. So that's really, really good advice. I guess one kind of last question for you on the same vein. What is the one thing you most want a woman to feel, the embodiment part, the moment she finally says yes to herself and just goes?
I want her to feel confident and like this sense of just, I've got myself. Like, I think that's the best feeling as a woman, to know that confidence and that you can, like, sure, someone else can get you whatever, but the fact that you've got yourself and like just that's like really strong self-love because you're honoring yourself and doing it for yourself is such a powerful feeling, and it shows up everywhere in your life. Like, if you feel confident and you love yourself and you are doing what you know is best for yourself, it shows up in your work, in your relationships, and you're able to be a better person for other people too. So I know sometimes women can, especially like women for sure, can feel guilt around that because they're like, oh, but I should be serving my family or my friends or whatever, but it actually is serving them when you serve yourself first. So I think that's a really important feeling.
I love that. Just building confidence and feeling empowered.
Mm-hmm, exactly. The empowerment is huge.
So you were mentioning earlier that you were putting a trip together to Nicaragua in November. Mm-hmm. It's for solo women travelers. Who would be maybe one of our listeners that would love to come on one of your trips that you lead? Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about that trip that you're getting ready to plan.
I would love to. So yeah, I just went to Nicaragua to check it out, fell in love with the country. I've always been fascinated by Nicaragua. I know a lot of people don't really travel there, which is why I wanted to host it in a country that would get women out of their comfort zone and just be a really unique experience into a place that maybe they didn't have the opportunity to go to. But it would be a trip for women who work remotely, entrepreneurs. We'll have co-working hours so we can network and kind of work together. I'll host a workshop, and I'll probably have another really amazing woman who is an entrepreneur host another workshop so we can learn from each other as well. But it's also going to be really centered around wellness, spirituality, and growth. So we'll have movement every day, whether it's Pilates, yoga, surf lessons, and then we'll also have excursions throughout the region. So that way you can really learn and immerse yourself in the Nicaraguan culture. And we'll be staying like a 2-minute walk from the most beautiful beach. So you'll be able to pop over whenever you want, go for a swim. The place that I found to host the retreat is so stunning. It's like the most beautiful retreat boutique hotel with a spa and a restaurant. So there's going to be different options for things during your free time as well. And yeah, the container women, the women that I'm already talking to about it, are so inspiring and beautiful. So I think it's just going to be a really amazing group of women. I had my last trip to Bali in February that I hosted was so beautiful. The women that came were amazing. We all are still in touch and became so close throughout all of the excursions and activities that we did. So I'm really excited for this one.
So would you say this would be a great opportunity for someone who's trying to venture out and maybe try the solo travel, who's had that itch, but maybe needs to now? It's the perfect opportunity to scratch it.
Yes, exactly. I think traveling, like going on group trips where things are taken care of, like you don't have to really make decisions on your own and you kind of have a balance of everything you're looking for, is the best way to dip your toe into solo travel, because you're coming alone, but you're also going to be with a group of like-minded women who you can connect with. And then you can also, of course, like recluse and be on your own and have that time to reflect when you need it, but you also have support when you need that too.
I love that. And I will definitely be in touch. And as this trip unfolds and the details come, you know, more about what, you know, the entire week, I will definitely share. You can look for it on our social media, on my social media. And yeah, it sounds like it will be an amazing trip with a lot of great women and a perfect opportunity if you are new to solo travel, or maybe not, and just want to jump on and have an adventure and just kind of come home to your body and to yourself. And that is what I keep coming back to from this conversation. So if you feel the pull, for anybody listening, if you feel that pull toward something new, toward something different, it's not a restlessness. It's not immaturity. It's probably your body asking you a real question, and it deserves a real answer. So give yourself permission this summer. Not a perfect plan, no ideal timing, just one yes. And if this conversation today with Natasha landed for you, please share it with a woman in your life who has a trip on her list she hasn't booked yet. That is exactly who it's for. If you could kindly leave a review while you're there, it's the single best way to help more women find their way to this conversation and conversations like we're having today. And I am so grateful for everyone. And if you want to go deeper into the body, into the nervous system, the kind of movement practices that meet you wherever you actually are in life, please come find me. I'm Kathy Covington. You can find me at kathycovington.com. That's where everything lives. And the Mantra Method and Mantra Pilates Studios, the community, and the women who are doing this work all alongside of you, we would love to have you. Again, I'm Kathy Covington. This is Embodied, and I will see you on the next one. Thanks, Natasha.